the anticipated collateral damage must not be excessive in relation to the anticipated military advantage. And finally, the principle of humanity requires us to use weapons that will not inflict unnecessary suffering. These principles do not forbid the use of stealth or technologically advanced weapons. In fact, the use of advanced weapons may help to ensure that the best intelligence is available for planning and carrying out operations, and the risk of civilian casualties can be minimized or avoided altogether. Some have argued that the president is required to get permission from a federal court before taking action against a United States citizen who is a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or associated forces. This is simply not accurate. Due process and judicial process are not one and the same, particularly when it comes to national security. The Constitution guarantees due process. It does not guarantee judicial process. The conduct and management of national security operations are core functions of the executive branch, as courts have recognized throughout our history. Military and civilian officials must often make real-time decisions that balance the need to act, the existence of alternative options, the possibility of collateral damage and other judgments, all of which depend on expertise and immediate access to information that only the executive branch may possess in real time. The Constitution's guarantee of due process is ironclad, and it is essential. But as a recent court decision makes clear, it does not require judicial approval before the president may use force abroad against a senior operational leader of a foreign terrorist organization with which the United States is at war, even if that individual happens to be a U.S. citizen. Now, that is not to say that the executive branch has or should ever have the ability to target any such individuals without robust oversight, which is why, in keeping with the law and our constitutional system of checks and balances, the executive branch regularly informs the appropriate members of Congress about our counterterrorism activities, including the legal framework, and would, of course, follow the same practice where lethal force is used against United States citizens. Now, these circumstances are sufficient under the Constitution for the United States to use lethal force against a U.S. citizen abroad, but it is important to note that the legal requirements I have described may not apply in every situation, such as operations that take place on traditional battlefields. The unfortunate reality is that our nation will likely continue to face terrorist threats that at times originate with our own citizens. When such individuals take up arms against this country and join Al-Qaeda in plotting attacks designed to kill their fellow Americans, there may be only one realistic and appropriate response. We must take steps to stop them in full accordance with the Constitution. In this hour of danger, we simply cannot afford to wait until deadly plans are carried out, and we will not. This is an indicator of our times, but it is not a departure from our laws and our values. For this administration and for this nation, our values are clear. We must always look to them for answers when we face difficult questions like the ones I have discussed today. As President Obama reminded us at the National Archives, and I quote again, "Our Constitution has endured through secession and civil rights, through World War and Cold War, because it provides a foundation of principles that can be applied pragmatically. It provides a compass that can help us find our way."